Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always great to have Bob Kessling on, the legendary voice of the Tennessee Vols, and they're coming off a huge win over Alabama after they had had a tough game in overtime against Florida in Knoxville. But I want to go back to start, Bob, to the game in Fayetteville where they lost, and you would have thought that Tennessee's season was going down the toilet because they had a rough road game to Fayetteville. Now, the fans are crazy. We know that. That's a given. But the reality is, I've always believed that it is so brutal to win on the road in the SEC and to go on the road. I don't care who you're playing. It is always difficult. It's a nightmare. And that day was a tough day. That was the first time someone all season long had really punched you in the mouth and didn't let Tennessee do what they do, where they score a lot of points and their offense is clicking and they're moving the ball and they're, you know, getting possessions and just moving down the field. That was a rock'em sock'em football game. What did they get out of that? There had to be something they learned from it, other than everybody thought the world was ending in Knoxville, because they are 6-1 and things are real cherry rosy again.
Yeah, Scott, it's interesting. The week before the Arkansas game, Tennessee went to Oklahoma and had a knockdown, drag out fight with the Sooners, but figured out a way to win that game. And then they go to Arkansas and you think, well, okay, they've got one under their belt on the road in the SEC and Nico's going to be able to come out and play really well and they'll be back to the old Tennessee that we know. And then suddenly Arkansas comes out and plays a similar defense to what Oklahoma did, and Tennessee didn't score in the first half, and that was shocking. I mean, that was really shocking. And then Arkansas was just more physical than Tennessee was that day and won it. And I think it kind of knocked everybody back on their heels. But it also, I think, brought it into the reality that Nico Iamaliava is still a very young quarterback. I mean, he started one game last year in the bowl game, and so he's really just figuring out how to play in the SEC, especially on the road. The interesting thing is that Tennessee has not scored in the first half in the last three games, which when you look at Josh Heupel's record, a lot of times they score on the first possession and a lot of times in the very first play of the game. They've done that five or six times. So not being able to score in the first half has been a little bit concerning, but then they figured out a way in the last two games to win in the second half and primarily running the ball and not throwing it. I mean, everybody thinks about Josh Heupel's offense being these huge chunk plays down the field, but they run the ball more than anybody in the SEC, and Dylan Sampson has just been fabulous for Tennessee running the football. But they're more of a running team right now than they are a big chunk passing team.
So when you were playing in Norman and you're calling a game and you see their struggles with their quarterbacks and their offense, were you surprised at their weakness? I mean, they got serious issues. I know they're not your problems, but you had to have seen it. And you got a young quarterback as well. What was it like seeing their problems?
Well, you could tell that they were limited offensively. But, you know, Tennessee still, one of the strengths of this team is its defense. The front seven has just been tremendous all season. Scott, when you watch Tennessee play defensively, it's like watching a hockey game because they roll those defensive linemen out like it's a hockey shift. They'll play three or four plays, and here come four fresh guys in. And that's really been an advantage for Tennessee, especially in the second half of these tight games, that they're fresh and still being able to pressure the quarterback. But it was obvious that Oklahoma was struggling offensively to move the ball, but Tennessee obviously didn't help them very much either. I mean, Tennessee's defense was really good that day. So you kind of chalk that up to a Tennessee win because of defense, but the struggles for Tennessee have continued on offense, and they're winning games in the 20s now. And when we, around here, the first 3 years of Josh Heupel, we're used to Tennessee scoring 50 points in a game. That's not happening right now.
Well, tell me about the Florida game. Florida had you dead to rights in Knoxville, and you end up beating them in overtime. What happened there?
Well, same thing, that Tennessee had gone back to the running game to grab the lead, and then Florida lost their quarterback. Florida had dominated the first half, and then Tennessee was able to come back and get the lead. And then when Graham Mertz, the Florida quarterback, went out, the whole game changed. He went out with that leg injury, and then the whole thing changed because Florida had to go to the freshman quarterback, Lagway, who's a very talented player,
right. But
he's very inexperienced. But he led him down the field, and at the end of the game, with under a minute to go, threw a bullet for a touchdown. I think Florida at first was going to go for two to take the lead and with about 29 seconds left, but then Tennessee called a quick timeout, and then Florida decided to kick the extra point, go to overtime. And then Tennessee's defense had Florida going backwards. Florida missed a long field goal, and then Tennessee just went to Sampson, and they just marched it down the field to win in overtime. But that was a tough game, and it was a really difficult game for Tennessee to win. And then this past week against Alabama, those were always slugfests. I mean, you go back down, they played 107 times, Scott. So, they've been battling for a long, long time against each other. And, again, Tennessee did a really good job on Jalen Milroe, who is the big star of the Alabama offense. He runs the ball more than anybody on that team. And Tennessee held him to 14 carries and 11 yards. And that was really a key. And they pressured him. So, he threw under 50%, I think, from the field, and just wasn't very effective in Tennessee's defense. I think in the second half especially put a lot of pressure on Milroe. And Alabama made some mistakes, threw a couple of interceptions, missed some field goals. And that could have been a different game. But then Tennessee, opening drive of the game, Tennessee takes it down the field, and Dylan Sampson fumbles, his first fumble all year. And that stopped a Tennessee drive. So neither team played really clean football in the game, but Tennessee figured out a way to win it.
I mean, this kid, Dylan Sampson, was unbelievable. 139 yards, two tutties. I thought the Vols up front were just giving him massive holes. I don't think I've ever seen a tied defense pushed around like that in the trenches in a long time. I mean, I'm talking about way before Nick Saban. I've never seen holes like that or an Alabama team get kind of just beaten down by Tennessee. I thought Sampson had nice work, but it looked easy to me with some of the holes he got.
Well, when you watched Alabama come out on the field and warm up, they didn't impress you like they have in the past with those big uglies, especially on the defensive line, where they would just kind of maul you at the line of scrimmage. They have a couple of guys that are really good players up front, but they don't have the overall depth in that defensive line where they can just dominate. I mean, South Carolina, the other game, started the second half and held the ball for 8.5 minutes against them, Martin. And that used to never happen against Alabama. Sampson has been a story because of the fact he's run for 100 yards now in six of Tennessee's seven games.
Right.
And a lot of his yardage, about two-thirds of it, is after contact. So that means he's breaking tackles, and when there's not a hole, he creates one. And the one thing that separates him, he's got sprinter speed. I mean, he was a sprint champion out of Baton Rouge. And if he gets by that first line of defense, he's a home run hitter. So he's just been really good. Last year he got to play some, but Jalen Wright was the featured back last year, and Wright was a 1,000-yard rusher, and Wright had a really good season. So Sampson had to pick and choose some of his spots where he had a chance to play, but he played well when he did. But this year he's the featured guy, and there's no question they're riding him right now. He's the workhorse. He rushed for, 26 times, I guess, against Alabama. And so they're giving him the ball, and he's doing a really good job with it.
Honestly, they held them to 89 yards rushing. That was embarrassing as well. I'll say this. You don't play again until the 2nd of November, so you're off till you play Kentucky in Knoxville. But, boy, do you have brutal games at Georgia on the 16th and at Vanderbilt, who's been a huge surprise this year. Ask Alabama. That game's on the 30th of November. So I really like their schedule. Those are brutal games. I like where they stand at 6-1, way better than where Alabama's looking right now for the college football playoff. Bob, always a pleasure, my man. Always great having you on Coast to Coast. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Honestly, Mike, I think they'll lose at Georgia. Georgia's not losing to them at Sanford Stadium. And I think that Vanderbilt will give him a game. That is an enormous game for Vanderbilt. If they could beat Tennessee in Smashville, that would be – can you imagine if they beat Alabama and Tennessee in the same season at home, what that place would be like? I mean, they have a shot. They have a legitimate shot against Tennessee in that game on the 30th. I am telling you. Tennessee's got their work cut out for them. They lose both those games and lose three games in the SEC, they will not be in the college football playoff. I didn't want to bum out Bob. Bob's a legend. You don't mess with a legend. So I didn't bring it up. I just said, you got some really tough road games. But it should be interesting to see what happens down the stretch. All right, Carver High. We continue marching on. You've got some NBA skinny for me now that the season is beginning.
Yeah, let's get through this, and then I do have some other college football stuff that we can do after. All right, we already said this enough. Embiid's not going to play the first week. Paul George out for the opener tomorrow night. So no Embiid, no George. Bucks are at the Sixers on Wednesday night's card when most of the league is going to get involved. Lots of extensions yesterday. We talked about a couple of the more ridiculous ones. Here's a few others. Nuggets and Aaron Gordon, 4 years, $133 million. Rockets and Sengun, 5 years, $185 million. Pelicans and Trey Murphy, 4 years, $112 million. Hawks and Jalen Johnson, 5 for $150 million. So those four, probably not as outrageous as Jalen Suggs or Corey Kispert.
Now, look, I think Gordon deserves the money. I think Sengun deserves the money, without a doubt. I start getting a little sketchy on Murphy and Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson getting 5 years and $158 million in Atlanta. I'm glad he got all that money because they never get it done. Even if they get close, they still never get it done. I mean, they never get it done. I used to live there and go to Hawks games. I have never once seen that literally get close to getting it done. I mean, even when they were in the Eastern Finals, they never got it done. They never get it done. And then you give this guy all this money. Do you remember all the players that they've had down there that made all that money? And they all ended up leaving and they never won anything. So I question those last two deals, but every guy now in the NBA makes tons of money, so I'm not surprised at all about the numbers. It's who they're giving it to that troubles me.
Precisely. All right, so since it's opening night, let me give you the opening night odds for a bunch of different futures here. Number one, to win it all, it's the Celtics, who are plus 325. Thunder, Knicks, Sixers, Nuggets, Mavs, T-Wolves, Bucks, all on the list. Here at the top of the odds board to win the NBA title. A long way until June. I know that. Long way until June.
Yeah, I want to see the Thunder play the Celtics in the NBA Finals, not Fat Luka.
yes, the Thunder are the favorites for the Western Conference as we get things going here. I think a lot of people would like to see the Thunder, but you know what? How about not the Celtics? How about the Thunder against somebody else? That would be that wouldn't be too bad.
Thunder against the Knicks.
Why not? That sounds good. That could be a lot of fun. All right, MVP for this year to start things off. Luka is your night one favorite at plus 330. Shai Gilgeous, Joker, Giannis, Ant Edwards, Tatum, Brunson, Wembanyama, all on the top of the board.
Wemby at 20-1. There you go.
20-1 for Wemby. Why not? Next that I have for you, defensive player of the year.
Done.
Wemby, minus money favorite on opening night. He's minus 155. I mean, look at these numbers for everyone else. Holmgren, Adebayo, Mobley, all 10-1, 11-1 or more right now. It's a done deal. Night one. Cash the ticket.
First of all, I think he's the most exciting player in the NBA. So I am not kidding when I say he can win the MVP, and the defensive player of the year odds are stacked in his favor because he's going to win that. He already was the defensive player of the year last year, and he got shafted Correct. For that. Well, they give it to Gobert, that hack.
Yeah.
He is so awful. His game is so weak. I cannot imagine that they got rid of Cat Towns and kept that galoof. Honestly. Wembanyama is so much better than him, it's not even funny. He'll dunk in his face.
Sixth man of the year on opening night, Malik Monk. Naz Reid we have up there. We have Mathurin. We have Hawkins, DiVincenzo, LeVert. Lots of names here. Sixth man of the year. Good odds, too.
Jaquez, Miami, 13-1. Yeah. That guy is a flat-out baller. He has been a badass his entire life, playing high school ball in L.A., going to UCLA. He was a badass there. He's been a badass with the Miami Heat. Every minute of his career in Miami has been successful. He is a great player, and he is an enormous piece on the Heat. And I think he's the sixth man.
I do this every year to you at the start of a season, and I'm going to say it again. Whenever I show you the odds for the most improved player, I always want to file a grievance. Wembanyama's the favorite. How could a guy who's already a badass be the most improved player? That just doesn't make any sense to me ever, but fair enough. Giddy is on the board here. Jalen Williams, Kuminga, Jalen Johnson, Jalen Green,
there
Mobley.
Jalen Johnson, who nobody cares about, getting $150 Jalen million. Jalen Green of the Rockets at 15-1. He's already the most improved player in the NBA last year and got shafted. He's the most improved player right now in the league.
And rookie of the year, as we start opening night, Zach Edey is the favorite on the board. You, of course, got Richesse, Reed Shepard, Sarr, Castle. I'll tell you.
Connect at 16.
I was just going to say it to you. Connect. Two reasons. First of all, he's got that Laker juice, too, which you need. He's got that Laker juice with LeBron, and it seems like he's going to play a big role. I'm with you with Connect. Let's put that in because that number is going to change.
And then they'll have ESPN nobbing him every day on their NBA live show or whatever it is. So he's just going to get just the constant juice. Like, you'd think he was working for Minute Maid orange juice. I mean, he's going to have so much juice, he's literally fresh squeezed.
300-1 for Bronny, by the way, who's got the most tickets for that.
Here we go.
I had to tell you, at least. I had to at least tell you that he had the most tickets.
I score more than him, and I'm 60.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High and I have massive gambling problems, and we're going to be betting on college football tonight, even if you've never heard of any of the players on either teams in both games.
Yeah, you get Conference USA Tuesdays here. I love that they play these games on Tuesdays in Conference USA on Wednesdays as well. There's just a couple games tomorrow night. At the Pitbull Palace, right? That's where FIU plays, Pitbull Stadium. They will have Sam Houston State in tonight. So Sam Houston and FIU is the first is the 7:30 East kick. That is Sam Houston minus. I got this at 5 now. It's 4.5 earlier with the 46.5 total. And then UTEP leaves the rolling hills of El Paso to go to Louisiana Tech tonight, minus 6.5 for Tech with a 48.5.
So Sam Houston got whacked at home last week by Western Kentucky, and they were, favored and everything else. And, you know, they're actually a pretty good team. They're 5-2. They were 5-1 in that game at home and got whacked. So what they're going to do tonight is they're going to beat the shack out of FIU down in Miami at Pitbull Stadium. I don't care if they bring a yacht out. I don't care if they bring strippers out. Sam Houston cannot lose to that crappy FIU team. Lay the 4.5.
as I like to say to you every week when we talk about these teams on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, FIU lost to Monmouth this year.
Yeah.
I love throwing that out there. They lost to Monmouth in a football game in their home stadium as they get ready for Sam. They lost to UTEP last week. UTEP, yeah. Awful, awful football
team. And they were
0-6. Yes. So UTEP takes their 1-6 record to La Tech tonight. So we have that. There you go. Conference. I like Sam Houston as well. I don't really love the other game.
La Tech has to win that game and cover. If they don't beat that crappy UTEP team, honestly, I don't care if they won their first game in a year. They've got to win that game in Ruston at home. You've got – they're bad enough at 2-4. These are two awful teams. Honestly, I like the under. And then in that other game, I think Sam Houston should score 40-plus points themselves. And the over is 46.5. I think they should score 40 points on FIU and bury their ass.
Sam Houston for me. That's it. That's all. That's as far as I can go with the college tonight. Just the one play. Tomorrow night,
bad.
I can't.
What do you see tomorrow?
Hey, 5-0 Liberty against 0-6 for LSU State tomorrow night. So get yourself ready for those games. That's a whooping. That's good. They're laying 25. We'll discuss tomorrow. All right. Best and the worst ATS in college football. So far this season, as we get ready for a fresh week here, Army 6-0-1 against the number. They are the last team with the zero in terms of losses against the spread. Got a lot of 6-1s, BYU, Indiana, Marshall, Eastern Michigan, Western Kentucky, some 5-1s, Minnesota, Navy, Pitt, UL Monroe, and then a few 5-1-1s also. The best teams against the spread.
Well, I mean, you know, Army is and Navy, unbelievable because they're unbeaten and they cover 90% of the time. BYU, unbeaten, cover, you know, 6-1 against the spread. Indiana, 7-0, 6-1 against the spread. Western Kentucky, all they do is win. I didn't respect them last week, and they blew out Sam Houston. They're 6-1 against the number. Illinois is a team I like betting on. They beat Michigan. They're 5-1-1 against the spread. They mean business. Pitt's undefeated. They mean business. They got a huge game Thursday night against Syracuse in Pittsburgh. They might have a game on their hands there against that McLeod and the Orange.
In terms of the worst teams against the spread so far this year, we still have two teams that have a bagel at the front end. That is Air Force 0-7 and North Carolina 0-6-1. NC State, Michigan, Kansas, Arizona, Georgia State, Forellisaw State, Liberty, Texas A&M, Florida State, and Georgia all on the low side.
Now remember,
so far
Liberty laying 25 tomorrow night, and they're 1-4 against the spread. They win, they never cover. Michigan stinks against the number. Mac Brown's done coaching. North Carolina's awful. This is his last year coaching ever. And Air Force, you bet against them every week. Arizona stinks against the number. So does Kansas. And people actually thought Kansas was going to be great this year. They're back to stinking like usual.
They certainly are. We'll come back, and I will give you the updated numbers for the college football playoff, some Heisman numbers. We got some World Series things to do as well. We've got the Frozen Frenzy odds for tonight, all the hot.
We'll have to finish the rest.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For who's going to win the college football playoff for me?
We do have that. And with Georgia beating Texas this past weekend on Saturday night, they have now become the new favorites once again. There they are. Georgia plus 350, Ohio State plus 450, Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Clemson, Tennessee, Miami 16-1, Alabama 20-1, everyone else 30-1 or longer.
God, I would love to see. I got to be honest with you. I'd freak if I got to see Georgia play Miami for a national championship, honestly. Because I got to tell you, I already saw Ohio State screw up the game at Outson. I mean, how do you let the clock run out when all you need is a few yards, kick the field goal, win the game, and they screwed that up? So, obviously, Ryan Day and the Buckeyes screw it up and won't get it done as usual. Do you really believe Oregon's going to play for the national championship? I mean, they're number one in that crappy AP poll. Texas, keep playing yours and see if you're in it. They won't be in it. Penn State, I think, is overrated, frankly, and no pun intended with Franklin. You know, Clemson's playing good, but they're not going to win it. Tennessee's not going to win it. By the time they play Georgia and Vanderbilt, I mean, honestly, when you look at Alabama, they're finished. They're not winning the national championship. I mean, they'll be lucky if they don't lose a couple more games. But Miami's for real. They're legit. Cam Ward, they're legit. They haven't been this legit since they were, I think, 10-0 in 2017, I think, was the last time they were good. And then they screwed that up. But this team has potential. They really do. To run the tables. They're going to be in the playoff. Even if they lose a game, they're going to be in the playoff. They're one of the best teams in the country. They've been in the top 10 all year. They're six now. They should be five. I already told you that. They just keep rewarding Texas for everything they do, wins, losses. They're always getting overvalued. So I want to see Georgia in Miami, to be honest with you. We saw what Georgia did this week to Texas. They beat their ass.
They certainly did. There are still 10 undefeated teams left in college football, and out of that list that we just showed you, only three of the 10 are on that list, which is Miami, Penn State, and Oregon. The other seven, Iowa State, Pitt, BYU, Army, Navy, Indiana, and Liberty, the only undefeated teams left in college football.
I mean, they're all football. Phony undefeated teams. They're not going to win the national championship to save their ass.
No.
Indiana's not running the tables with their quarterback breaking his thumb. Their problems are just beginning. Army and Navy are going to eat each other, I guess, when they play, but they're not playing for a national championship. Penn State isn't either. I think they're overrated. I know they want to see Penn State in that playoff, and they're going to be there. Liberty sucks. I don't care what people think of them. They don't matter. Iowa State's decent. Pitt's decent. Pitt could lose to Syracuse this week.
They could. And the other thing, I know everybody keeps, and some people around here even, with the Army-Navy stuff, you know, with them making the playoff or being the group of five participant, Army and Navy both still have to play Notre Dame. And say what you want about Notre Dame, they don't lose to those teams very often. Yes, it has happened in the past, but Notre Dame doesn't lose to Army and Navy very often.
And that is this week.
That includes this week. They play Navy at MetLife across the river here in Jersey. They're playing Navy there, and they're playing Army at Yankee Stadium in November.
Oh my
so they're
God,
playing in New York.
Both of them. You talk about cream puff.
Yes. So
one of those teams beating Notre Dame.
Well, that's exactly. So that's why everybody needs to settle down with the Army and Navy stuff
moving forward.
Simmer down. I do think Indiana will hold on for a while. Heisman odds. For you here heading into this week, the ninth week of college football. There he is, back on top. Cam Ward, 2-1. He's tied with Genty now. They're both 2-1 to win the Heisman. Dylan Gabriel, Travis Hunter, everyone else is 20-1 or longer. The field at the top is starting to get smaller. Ward, Genty, Gabriel, it seems like those three, and if Hunter stays healthy, maybe gets himself back involved.
Look, all three of them are great. I'm biased. I'm on Cam Ward. I think he's just been sensational. I respect what Jenny's done. I think Dylan Gabriel's a really good player. All three of them have a shot at it. They're all going to be in New York.
Yes, I agree with that. Cam Ward is the first player in Miami Hurricane history with 300 yards passing in seven straight games. He has done an outstanding, looking to make that eight against Florida State this week. By the way, which I think that he will be able to do.
Florida State's a high school team.
Indiana quarterback Curtis Rourke's injured thumb is improving enough that he could be back next week against Michigan State. So they're thinking he's just going to miss this week at home against Washington, where they are 6.5-point favorites even without him. of course, going. So they think he'll be back for the Michigan State game the following week. I hope so, because Rourke's had an outstanding year, and I'd love to see him get back out there. And finally, Oklahoma will go back to Jackson Arnold at quarterback against Ole Miss, who they benched a few weeks ago for that freshman kid. I got bad news. They chopped the offensive coordinator this week, too. I got bad news for you if you're an Oklahoma fan. It ain't going to get any better.
It doesn't matter.
It's not getting any better. It doesn't matter. It's not getting any better. Didn't go well. First year in the SEC. Not going well. He got blown out at home by South Carolina.
He's got a nightmare.
Got blown out at home. He got a big time nightmare that he's dealing with.
What a shame. How will I ever get any sleep?
What a shame. Tomorrow.
You asked for it, you wanted it, and now you got it. You got exactly what you wanted. You wanted to be in the SEC. You got to hang with the big boys now, huh?
Yeah, they certainly are. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you some of the bigger games for this week and a couple of racks for the weekend. So we're going to do all that tomorrow on Coast to Coast.
What are you, the world deriving for the you know, the tutties and the taters and everything else? Like, what are you deriving? What are you stewing up for me for when you leave on Thursday and Friday to go to the Irish Open? When you're playing in the Cape Cod Irish Open and going for the green jacket and then you're forgetting about us, is that the deal?
I will send some stuff in the morning. Thursday morning, you'll get the touchdowns for the Thursday night game. They'll be there for you. They'll be available when you talk about the game. And then on Friday, I'll do the same thing. Touchdowns for Friday, maybe a home run or two for game one on Friday night of the World Series. We're going to make sure we have you covered for that. The World Series does start on Friday night. In fact, this is nice and easy. I like this. Every game, same time, 8:08 p.m. East. Games 1 through 7. There it is right there. I kind of broke it down for you yesterday. Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Very easy for you. All 7 games of the World Series.
I just can't wait. I mean, let's go. Are you kidding me? The Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series. It is just delicious.
We all have memories of these two from back in the day. Aaron Boone has those memories as well, Scotty. Here he is talking about the matchup.
There's always been that occasional talk about Yankees-Dodgers. So I think it's great. You know, I grew up, you know, with my dad, you know, in the 70s and 80s playing for the Phillies, who won a bunch of Eastern Division championships, and the Dodgers sent them home in back-to-back championship series years. And so, and obviously with the right to play the Yankees in the Fall Classic. So that's right in my wheelhouse, those teams and those days. So it's definitely meaningful to me and not lost upon me. But I think it's going to be, I'm looking forward to all of it. The stars will be out. The eyeballs will be watching, and hopefully we can deliver on a great series.
God, yeah, I just hope it's just magnificent every game. I just hope it's, listen, I thought the Dodgers Mets was awful. It was all blowouts.
Every game was a blowout in Dodgers-Mets, I will say. That was one thing that was very unfortunate. Every game was a blowout. I'll give you a few more things on the World Series and then give you all the hockey for tonight when we go.
Okay.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, you sent me this morning, the Blue Bloods of Major League Baseball, kind of reference to what Boone was talking about there. The Yankees, 27 World Series titles. The Dodgers, 7. The Yankees, 41 pennants. The Dodgers, 25. The Yankees, 47 Hall of Famers. The Dodgers, 53 Hall of Famers. Wins, Dodgers more wins, 11,022. Yankees, 10,778. Two historic franchises meeting again in the World Series. Let's go.
I think it should be the Yankees and Dodgers at least every 5 years.
It should be. And it would really get everybody so mad, like I was saying to you yesterday. I saw it again last night and this morning. People just foaming at the mouth because they watch two teams with huge stars in big markets have to play in the World Series. It bothers people so much.
That's too bad.
It's amazing. It really is. So don't watch. How about that? Don't watch. Go watch FIU and Sam Houston State tonight. That'll be what you can go watch. Have a salad for that
really,
one.
Man.
A couple other things that Boone said yesterday. There's a good chance Nestor Cortez on the World Series roster. In fact, Cortez spoke today. They had a workout at the stadium for the Yankees. We're going to have some clips for that tomorrow. But Cortez said, you know, he's been told coming back so soon could cause some further injury to his arm. And he basically said, Scotty, if I can pitch and get a ring, I don't care if I have to sit out a year and get surgery. So he's kind of just throwing that out there.
In a World Series and worry about next year.
Correct. So that looks like it's what Cortez is going to do. Boone was asked yesterday about if he's going to ask anyone about advice or something about managing in the World Series. He did say that he's had some chats with Joe Torre throughout October and that he would probably talk to Joe again before they get started on Friday. Not a bad guy to talk to when it comes to winning World Series with the New York Yankees. Joe has done that plenty of times. And he managed the Dodgers too. Joe with both teams here in the World Series. Man, well, that was awful when he went to L.A.
People only care about Joe Torre with the Yankees. Thank you.
That's correct. I do believe that as well. People actually forget that he was the Dodger manager at some points. We still know that it will be Gerrit Cole on Friday night. We still do not know who it'll be for the Dodgers. Not much has changed. Minus 125 for them, plus 108 for the Yankees. But I did want to sprinkle this into you today. I'm going to try to give you a little something every day here for the Yankees and the Dodgers. Odds to win the World Series MVP. And Ohtani and Judge are clearly the favorite. And you got four megastars here. Ohtani, Judge, Soto, and Betts. And then you have Stanton at plus 950. Stanton is hitting 309 with 9 doubles, 10 homers, and 26 RBIs in 25 career games at Dodger Stadium. He also won the 22 All-Star Game MVP at Dodger Stadium. He's hit a ball out of Dodger Stadium. Stanton loves hitting at Dodger Stadium. It's pretty much what we're trying to tell you there. And Judge, Scotty, ain't too bad either. 10 career games against the Dodgers, 14 for 36 with 8 homers and 2 doubles. Pretty good numbers.
Yeah, I like Stanton and Soto as far as I'm concerned for MVP because they're both badasses. The way Stanton hits there is incredible. I always remember that Willie Stargell hit 2 balls completely out of Dodger Stadium. No one can say that except for Willie. Pops, my man.
Yeah, not too many have gotten completely out. Willie's got 2. I saw already making the rounds the last 2 days, the Stanton one from when he was with the Marlins that he hit clear out of Dodger Stadium. So Giancarlo always loves hitting there in Los Angeles. The Yankees have been off to fast starts at the top of the lineup. Gleyber, Torres, and Soto have reached base safely in 15 of their 18 first-inning plate appearances this postseason. That's an .833 on-base percentage. In the first inning for Torres and Soto, leading off at the top of the Yankee lineup. And they will need more of that against the Dodgers.
Do you remember all the
coming
people
up
that
here
wanted the Yankees to get rid of Gleyber Day? I mean, that's all we ever hear. Get rid of Gleyber Day. Meanwhile, he's been awesome. Awesome.
And awesome. And finally for today on the World Series, if you're looking to go to the game, you better hit a couple of bets, get yourself a couple big tickets before you try to buy tickets. The cheapest ticket in both parks, Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium, over 1,000, over 1K for the cheapest ticket for all 7 games. A very expensive ticket.
It's 1,000 to sit in the worst seat in the upper deck, and Gabe got his seat for 1,300 in the right field bleachers, like 5 rows from the field. So he's styling. He's going to have Dodger Ritas going, the whole deal.
Dodger Ritas, you need to have that indeed. All right, Frozen Frenzy tonight.
Everybody loves hot.
In the NHL, what is that? Every team is playing tonight, and starting in about 10 minutes, 6 o'clock East, and then at 6:30, every 15 minutes, Another game will face off all the way to 11 o'clock tonight. So everybody is in the mix. Let's start with the first rack. I'll give you the rest after the break. Washington and Philly, 6 o'clock in Philadelphia, -120 for the Flyers. The Wild and the Panthers in South Florida. They gave Maurice an extension today, by the way. Panthers are favored -152 with a 5.5. Lightning and the Devils are at the Rock at 6:45. Devils favored. Stars and the Sabres in Buffalo at 7 o'clock. -152 for the Stars, road favorite.
Yeah, look, I like the Flyers, the Panthers. Give me the upset. Lightning at the Rock, and Dallas will win in Buffalo.
The Rangers are in Montreal tonight. That will be at 7:15 East. You have the Maple Leafs in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. Remember, Maple Leafs played last night. So did Tampa. Toronto -2 Bills here. The Islanders are at the Horse Track tonight against Detroit. That's at 7:45 East. 8 o'clock East, the Jets are in St. Louis against the Blues. Blues, actually, dogs at home. You got the Jets -140 there on the road.
The Jets are 5-0. I like the Jets, the Islanders, the Leafs, and the Rangers.
We will come back, and I will give you the other two sets of NHL games, which includes the Penguins heading to Western Canada, where they are going to be in Calgary tonight against the Flames. So the Penguins in Farrell, Alberta.
It's not even cold there yet. So it's just not a problem.
Not true. I saw snow in Farrell, Alberta. So I believe that there is some snow on the ground up in those parts. Yes, you wouldn't know
it
being around here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we got other NHL racks to give you here on Leftovers.
Yes, we do, especially with it being frozen frenzy tonight. The Canucks are in Chicago against the Blackhawks tonight. Canucks are going to be the road favorite here. The Avalanche are in Seattle against the Kraken. Rotto -125. Bruins are in Nashville against the Predators. Predators are the favorite here, -132. And Carolina is in Edmonton against the Oilers. Oilers -132.
Yeah, I like Vancouver to win at the United Center in Chicago. I like the Kraken at the Climate Pledge. Seattle at home over the Avs. I like the Bruins in Nashville. Nashville's 0-5. What a disaster. And I'll take the Canes with the upset in Edmonton. The Oilers have been really average.
On the other side of the coin, how about Utah, Scotty? 4-1-1 as they are home tonight for Ottawa. Utah -120. The Penguins are in Calgary, Farrell, Alberta, where the Flames are out to a very good start. They're 4-0-1, and they're -115. The Sharks are in Anaheim tonight at the Duck Pond. And the last game tonight faces off at 11 o'clock East. Kings and the Knights in Vegas at the T-Mobile. Knights -125.
Yeah, I like Utah at home. I like Calgary at home. I like the Ducks on the pond. And I like Vegas in Sin City. I got a hub.
All right, I got two more for you, and they're both pretty good. First of all, I thought this was a gag story that you sent me today when I actually started reading it. Lennox Lewis will consider a Mike Tyson rematch if he beats Jake Paul. Is that serious? Like, did Lennox Lewis actually, like, he's... Why would he be fighting? None of these guys should be fighting anymore. What are we doing here with this? What is going on in the world?
Yeah, and I don't even believe Mike Tyson can handle Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul will knock him out. Just like the last couple of times that Mike Tyson fought, he's literally unable to take a punch. He's like brain dead from boxing. Just so you know, the only thing that keeps him alive is dope. He smokes tons of dope. That's it. He has no boxing skills whatsoever. They show him training all the time with his, like, speed training and punching a bag. It's different when he's in the ring getting punched. The last two times he fought, take a good look at what happened to him. Like, he's like a noodle.
He's 58 years old.
Right?
I mean,
what happened with Holyfield?
Lennox Lewis
went down like a tree.
Lennox Lewis is 59. Like,
yeah.
That's that. Also, it's to the state of boxing today.
It's embarrassing.
That people would be more excited to watch two guys 58 and 59 years old fight each other than the fights that get put on now. That's actually what it also
says,
what people think about boxing. And finally, one of the bigger scams going, the Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy TGL will start on January 7th. Now, you know I love golf. I love betting on golf. I love golf.
Yeah.
If these guys actually think that people like me are going to get excited to watch them hit balls into a screen and make it think that it actually matters, they went too far with this one. I'm out on the TGL. I'll tell you now, I love golf. I can't watch these guys hit balls in a screen. I'm not going to be there for it.
No tech golf for you. No simulator golf for you.
You can't bet on either. I can't bet on something that gets guessed off of a screen. There's absolutely no chance. I can't believe they'd even bet on that.
For all the finish, former NFL running back Eddie Lacy had a 0.325 blood alcohol content during his DUIs. 4 times the legal limit. My man was rolling along. A lady narked him out, said he was swerving all over the road. The popo pulled him over. He blew 4 times the legal limit. Surfer Julia Manfrini, dead at 36, after being speared by a swordfish. What a way to go with one of those through your back and stomach. Extreme haunted house, accused of being a torture chamber under disguise. They were actually torturing people in this thing. It comes with a 40-page waiver and calls for it to be shut down or intensifying. They're torturing people at the haunted house. It just can't be a good thing. Sean Diddy Combs, still having problems, accused now of raping a 13-year-old with two other celebrities at the VMA's after party. Your boy Diddy wants to get out of jail. Here's an idea. Don't let Diddy out. He will flee. My man, how many people has he allegedly raped? Oh, my God. Spellcasting Kentucky woman arrested for abuse of a corpse. She was cooking body parts in a pot like Jeff Dahmer. Woman also had an alias. She was an aspiring actor. GTD is next. Go to FloronaBench.com. We'll see you tomorrow at 3. A coast to coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.